was we found a mechanism on how you can imprint quantum energy, pure quantum energy with zero brute force, so no electricity and no magnetic force, into objects.
And the reason I hinge on the things that are quantum right now is because it's not just that it's the most unnoticed facet of reality, but it's also, I think, the most impactful facet. Because when you elicit some sort of change at the most fundamental level for our reality, it propagates.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Ion Mitchell and Philip von Holtzendorf coming to the program, and we are going to talk about quantum energy and how you can tap into frequency. And, you know, people who've been listening to the show, who've watched Sherry Edwards, who actually watched Philip when he came on before with Crew and Roman and other, I've had the Electric Universe people on, and how we know that the future of science and medicine, future of all this, is frequency, understanding, you know, the Electric Universe, our frequency, how all this ties in. Also understanding water and how that connects everybody. It all comes down to the quantum level and understanding how we work. And we're going to talk about that today. And they have ways to deal with 5G and 4G and all the EMFs that we're being bombarded with. We're in a soup of EMFs. And I mean, frankly, we're probably not. I mean, maybe the activists are going to be able to figure out how they can get the companies to come up with better technology for us to be able to communicate. But in the meantime, you need to figure out ways to protect yourself and increase your health and learn how to harmonize with whatever you're bombarded with. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about how it all works, how you can harmonize, how you can get your body to be work at its optimal level, even within this soup of EMFs. And they have different products that they are working with to do that, to infuse things at the quantum level. And they're explaining the science. I told Philip, really don't want you to, because I knew he was working all this stuff out. And I go, please, I was super excited about it. But I go, but I really think it's best that you come back once you have the scientific proof from third-party labs to be able to show people how this works, you know, under a microscope and all these things. And so he has all that. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to, as we go, I'll put up different images. And so you can see how it affects your blood. It's just awesome. And then my members get a discount for all his products. And so I have that below, links to that. And I'll have, if you are a member of Ebonyr, or if you want to purchase and learn more, you can get it at my shop. I'll have a link to that, and then my Ebonyr members will have a discount code that they can get. And if you want to subscribe to Ebonyr, I have a lot of different things up there, over 50 ebooks and a lot of exclusives. And I also have an exclusive with these guys. We stick around, when Ian and Philip stick around, and we talk about consciousness. And so many people are talking about what is consciousness and why do people think that consciousness is our solution, humanity's solution to so many of these problems, and what that means. And so we talk about it. We talk about it from a scientific standpoint and from a spirituality standpoint. So it's a really great conversation. And that's an exclusive for both SarahWestall.tv members, which you can get on Roku, on SarahWestall.tv, and other platforms, and for my Ebonyr subscribers. So you can subscribe to all of that at SarahWestall.com/subscribe. So look for the links below, and let's get into this amazing conversation with Philip and Ion. Philip and Ion, thank you so much for rejoining the program.
Happy to be back, Sarah.
Thanks for having us.
Well, we have a ton to talk about. I know you guys have a great frequency-based... Well, last time we talked about frequency and how everything's frequency, and that... You know, because we're concerned about 5G, we're concerned about a lot of things, and the medical field is, I think they're in the dark ages. They're just starting, people are just starting to realize that everything is frequent. You can do so much with frequency. But you have a product that actually infuses frequency into clothes and into a water bottle, all these things. But before we get into that because it's very cutting edge, and that's what I love to cover is these on the edge ideas that can really do great things for humanity. But can you talk about, both of you, why in the world did you, how did you decide to get involved in this area in the first place?
Well, I mean, so for me, it is really the merging of science and consciousness at this point. And I've been, you know, a long time ago, I was in corporate America and corporate Europe, right? You know, I was a vice president at T-Mobile internationally and also in the U.S. But already during that time, I realized really that is, I'm there, that's nice, but it's not really the purpose of life. And I don't want to get sucked into this career thing too much. It's really about something completely different. And already in parallel, I started working on myself and finding out that there's so much more. Certainly helps that I have a wife that was born in a way where she could see the aura and she never lost this divine connection, if you will, this conscious connection, really seeing things that are not to be seen by most people at this point because we've lost this ability. And at some point, I started to really walk through these blockages within myself and figure out, wow, there is so much more. And as I expanded my own consciousness and see through things, it started to become like a calling to help other people to also realize that and heal in a way to get through blockages and see the real world, if you will. Now, in this process, I encountered various things that really can help humanity do this quantum leap, or at least the ones that, you know, get into that. And so here, what we're having right now is really the merging of science and consciousness, because we work together with very famous healers that can see things, right? They could see, and you know, like Roman is one of them, you know, he could see your heartbeat and tell you exactly, okay, well, there's something going on here. And then he doesn't only have the ability to actually see what's going on, he can also change it like instantly with energy, right? And also through distance. Now we're actually merging that into real products because we found a mechanism on how you can imprint quantum energy, pure quantum energy with zero brute force, so no electricity, no magnetic force, into objects. And then we've done a lot of research on what that can do. And we can also add certain frequencies. So we could take you know, a card, for example, and imprint not only quantum energy, but also specific, you know, frequency that helps with sleep and rest or with inner peace or with, you know, other topics. The opportunities are endless. And that stuff really works. We've known it works because we could see it and we could test it with people, but we've gone further and actually done the study. So we worked with various third-party institutes to actually give them our products so that they can validate what's going on and how it works and what it does. And yeah, this is, it's a passion, it's a calling. You know, I'm always a fan of trying to build the new and the better, rather than looking at something that's not working so well. And I think in a sense, we're living in an amazing time because lots of stuff is possible despite all the tragedies and sad stories that we're having all around us as well, certainly.
Well, and I think, and I want to get to why Ion got involved in this, but I think we're in a crossroads where we have 5G, we have all these things. We know that there's this globalist plan to depopulate. I don't know how much they want to, but there's this really a lot of nefarious actors out there that their goal is to dominate and control us. But what's so interesting is the science has come so far, not in the mainstream. I mean, let's be real. But in the consciousness of many, that a solution such as this actually can be embraced by enough people where it makes it viable to really grow and to be something. And I would think that the mainstream, most of them would still just ignore it because I don't even know what to think about it. They're just, it's so far out of their box that they don't even know how to criticize it. But there are more and more people that are starting to understand it. What would you say about that, Ion?
Well, I think one of the fundamental precepts for me is, you know, I like to solve puzzles and I like to know how things work and how things are actually put together. And if you start to approach what we know as people, you know, you're right, there's a lot of obstinance and rejection to new ideas, but I think that's kind of just endemic of how we process information. If you, just as kind of an analogy to put it in perspective, if you had, say, a house that was 1,000 square feet, as people, given what we can actually pick up just with our natural senses, the average person, it's equivalent to looking at 1 square inch out of 1,000 square foot house and trying to assess the rest of that 1,000 square foot house. And you have to understand that there's no way to accurately see the totality of what's going on and to really get it if you're trying to make that, for lack of a better term, blind of an assessment. So we do the best we can. And for me personally, the reason I'm involved with this is everything that I've worked towards is, you know, I'm very hell-bent on helping people and trying to make things better and solve the puzzles that are big issues and actually move the needle. Because I too realize that I don't have a tremendous amount of time here. Best case scenario, you know, a couple hundred years, you know, if all of the research has worked effectively and everything is optimized. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're trying to better the species and better the consciousness of everyone, because that's the thing that's persistent. What we do here, it's frequencies. We're setting up ripples and they're going to propagate long after we're gone. And if we do it well, we can impact things so that my kids and their kids, it continues to move in a positive direction. And that little 1 square inch space just gets a little bigger and a little bigger and a little bigger. And the reason I hinge on the things that are quantum right now is because it's not just that it's the most unnoticed facet of reality, but it's also, I think, the most impactful facet. Because when you elicit some sort of change at the most fundamental level for our reality, it propagates. And a lot of the people that are naysayers about this stuff, they can say, oh, well, you can't verify it, you can't test it. And there's some truth to that, in that you can't necessarily verify it in a direct sense, because we really don't have the technology. You know, if you gave somebody a cell phone 400 years ago and said, explain how this works, they simply would lack the vocabulary to do it. And a lot of that, we're kind of groping around discerning what we can and putting together the vocabulary. And some of the things, like in the past year, I've had to go back and rewrite some of the fundamental precepts of just basic assumptions that we've had in, you know, physics for the past 100 years. Not because it was erroneous, just because they literally didn't have the technology to look for things at the scale that those things were actually happening. They didn't realize that electrons individually had spin. You know, now we know about, you know, fermionic and bosonic spin, and they didn't know that, you know, back in 1924, like say when De Broglie wrote his equations. But those were the things that we built on, and that's how we've evolved.
They didn't know that there was this plasma energy field that actually keeps those electrons spinning. And if you artificially slow that electron down, it'll get another burst of energy from the plasma field, which is this huge source of energy that we could have that we haven't really tapped into like we could. And that's a whole nother topic, but
yeah, it will. And things like that, you know, but to that point, I know that there are people using that technology to get changes in crop cycles and growing, you know, and there are a lot of farmers who have actually seen it evidenced in their work, because you can use plasma fields and modify the way that a crop actually grows and elicit a different response from a plant and have higher crop yields using less resources to do it. And that's why I say I always go back to that Henry David Thoreau thing of, for every 1,000 hacking at the leaves of evil, there's one hacking at the root. You want to be the one hacking at the root. And that's what this technology is we're getting it at this point, you know, and it'll probably be different 1,000 years from now, but we're trying to deal with the fundamentals of what we can do to bring about the biggest change, both in terms of physiology and awareness and consciousness. And that's why I said, you can't necessarily directly observe it, but you can look at things like dark field microscopy, and you can look at the net effects on, say, someone's blood work and say, oh, look, we've got tremendous clotting here, there's aggregation, shouldn't be there. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, after putting on quantum shielding to block EMF stress, there's complete dispersion, the surface tension dissipates, the cells move back the way they should, all the red blood cells are functioning properly. And we can show that, but we still can't quite show the exact root cause, you know, mechanistically, because we just lack the tech to completely image it yet. Doesn't mean we can't see the effects. We just aren't quite there in terms of all of the causation.
That makes sense. I mean, you still have to have a mechanism to be able to see it, to be able to figure out what's going on. I mean, you can only look at it in an abstract way and be able to see the whole picture without having a way to actually get in there. Yeah. And, you know, so you have evidence of how this is affecting. But before we get to some of that, how are you using this knowledge to help humanity with 5G and with the, you know, we're in a soup of EMFs. And I mean, since it's all frequency and our body's all frequency, our mind is all frequency, we're seeing a lot of negative effects on human beings, on plant life, on animal life, on everything on this planet, because the old technology, which is our current modern technology, they just don't know. I think some of them, let's just pretend it's not nefarious at all and they're just ignorant. They just don't realize how much, you know, I mean, because whatever the reason.
We're using whale oil.
Whatever the reason it is, I really don't think the average person, the average doctor, they don't realize how our body works and how the world works with frequency. And so, you know, getting into this frequency for products, how are you doing this to help people with that and to help humanity not get sicker? You know, we don't know where all the effects of cancer and all these things are happening, but we know cancer is going through the roof, for example. I have a feeling cancer is a lot of that's from frequency issues, not a feeling. I know the studies are showing that. So what are your products doing in that sense to help us with that area?
It helps on a fundamental level. It helps, or these products help in two ways. One is really on the energetic level, that it basically helps your energetic and body system to be more in tune with itself. And that may sound very woo-woo, but everyone that has at least meditated once would at least grasp a little bit of what I'm saying here. And I want to also say that 5G or 4G or 3G doesn't necessarily have to affect us in a very negative way. It really depends on our physical and energetic state. None of the healers that we work with are affected in any way by 5G or 4G or 3G. Frankly, just because their expansion and energetic system and consciousness is so expanded that they don't bother. Now, with the general population, it's different. So we can probably assume that about over 90% of the people are heavily impacted. And that's actually also what came back in the studies that we ran. You know, when you expose people to EMF, literally the vast, vast majority is impacted in a more or less serious way. And also quasi-instant, right? You could literally, there was a doctor that just came out with an interesting video, and they did a whole dark field microscopy study, which we also did, but I always like to also refer to other people. And she analyzed the impact of EMF on the blood. And it was mind-boggling. It was so bad. And you can literally see it in these visuals. Now, with our technology and the products, you can help with that kind of in a midterm, long-term perspective. It helps you with the energetic state very rapidly, but there's much more to it, right? It's a path. It also helps on a physical level, really, where, for example, if you look at blood of someone that is just boosted with EMF, or even not, right? It doesn't really matter. It's just much worse when EMF is involved. It's always worse. And then they wear this product just for 5 or 10 minutes. Suddenly you see exactly what Ian just described, how the blood is better. But that was not the only study. So we went into dark field microscopy. We had another institute that measured the heart rate variability. Then we had another institute that looked at the biofeedback and the biosystem analysis. And in 100% of the cases where they measured the the patients and the test persons, the effect when EMFing was involved, right? They tested also a bunch of other things for us, but EMF, that's what we're talking about right now. Each time, all the measurements of the body and energetic state of the body would go just down into the basement and even lower, right? Really bad. And then when you gave them the products, suddenly you would be able to regulate it and actually get it into a state where it's considered optimal, literally optimal. So you could sit in an electric car blasted with 2 iPads and 3 phones at the same time and still after that have positive measurements, right? That's pretty unheard of. And yeah, so that's pretty much what we can help with. And that's what we're trying to tell people. But again, I want to mention, it's not, people shouldn't be in fear with this 5G and all of that, right? It's just, it's a reality we're living in right now. And there's nothing, we can't change it at the moment, right? So what we can change is our attitude towards it, how we deal with it, and then maybe leverage tools that help us to get through that until we hopefully change it all in a better way.
Now, do you think that we will evolve as a species to be able to coexist with it? Or do you think that we will be forced as a species to use better technology?
I'll chime in. I think over time, given enough time, we're adaptive. So we will definitely evolve to an extent. But in the short term, for the next likely few hundred years, we're going to have to technologically negate the negative effects. But we've done that as a species. That's kind of the beauty of one of the tools that we have that, you know, most other creatures don't. And I mean, you can look around the world today and most of the adaptation we do is not because we've become stronger or smarter or faster. It's because we've used our ability to be innovative. You know, it's all prefrontal cortex stuff. We're magically creative and adapting using things like this. I mean, this is a perfect example. It's a great tool that allows you to block stress. And I look at it from the cellular biology standpoint a lot of times. And when you have your cells regulate the flow of different components that are necessary, like magnesium, potassium, calcium, phosphorus, they do that through voltage-gated ion channels. And in the case of, say, the data that we have, you can look at the clumping and say definitively, like, okay, these things have clumped together because there's a dysregulation of the pH in the blood, things are awry, there's a effectively an ionic dysregulation, so things have different charges, and hence they clump. And that's because we're built in such a way and have evolved literally for, you know, millions and millions and millions of years, so that our cells have all these little voltage-gated channels, and they open and close at very specific times to keep very precise ratios. And when you don't have that, you end up with an imbalance, and that imbalance does all sorts of things. I mean, I've seen it in the lab. It's kind of peculiar, but you can use a signal from a Wi-Fi router and dysregulate cells so that the voltage-gated calcium channels open up and they stay open. And what happens is you end up with a lower pH, which just means you have more protons inside. So it's more acidic. And when that happens, you're more susceptible to viruses and things like that. And we see that all the time. We're exposing ourselves to this stuff. So my particular take is that in the distant future, yeah, we'll probably adapt. But truly, I don't know if it's that we'll actually adapt the systems in terms of biology, or kind of, as Philip was saying, when you evolve, you don't necessarily get as dysregulated energetically. Your power system is stronger, so it negates that. And I think that in the sense of expansion of consciousness will impact us before our physiology catches up. But for most people, that's kind of down the road. Not everybody's going to lock themselves in the lotus position, you know, for enough time to get the
or
response
ever.
Back to make
yeah.
it viable. Yeah. So I don't even know that my knees flex that well. So,
well, how does it affect animals and plant life, though? I mean, is the planet able
the
to
same.
Evolve? Yeah. I mean, the planet.
We're built on the same systems biology. Yeah. I mean, we have the reason we all run with mitochondria as the default in our cells, including plants, is it's worked for billions of years. It was a great system. But then we as a species introduce things that are having a lot of negative repercussions. My dad, who's a professor, as he always said, it's the cosmic trigger. You know, you don't necessarily know what you're going to do, but there might be something technologically that you do that you fire the gun, but you don't even know that it's happened. And I think in a lot of ways, we've done that with technology. We've, in theory, made our lives better and easier, but we've also damaged just the biosphere. And yeah, it completely dysregulates plants. When all the new 5G towers kicked in, I actually had an Uber driver ask me if I had noticed the trees. And I thought I was heading into Dallas. I had just flown in and I was being driven around. And I thought it was a really peculiar question. I said, what do you mean? And he said, I noticed when all these towers went in, all these banks of trees started turning brown. And I hadn't actually noticed that prior to. But then I started looking at the foliage and seeing, that's strange. But it was something, it was completely obfuscated from my view, even though it was right in front of me the whole time. I just never picked up on it. It was, you know, just kind of the blur of reality. I was focused on what was right in front of me and not paying attention, truly losing the forest for the trees.
And that could be a canary in the coal mine to bigger issues. So long term, hundreds of years will rebalance. But in the short run, we have to deal with it. I mean, ideally, they'd use other technology that doesn't have so much painful effects in the process of people, you know, migrating or evolving. But I don't think we're going to be able to. I mean, maybe, you know, there's a lot of activist groups out there trying to get them not to use 5G and stuff, but I got towers all around me. So unless I go and live in the, deep woods, but even the satellites are going to be pumping that stuff to us. So, I mean, we just have to protect ourselves. So that's why I was really interested and excited about what it is that you're doing at the lowest level, at the very fundamentally lowest level of life, essentially, to counteract it. Now, can you explain what it is that you have and how, I know we started talking about how it counteracts it, but kind of get into some of the things that you have and how people can practically use these things to be safer.
Yep. So on one hand, it's the actual technology that we're making available, which I think is a very unique thing, because in the old world, if you will, if someone had something that works, you know, you would either put it in the drawer and not have anybody participate, or you're the only one and then you make everybody else dependent on it. And that's exactly not the route we're taking. It's actually a completely decentralized,
that's good,
idea, if you will, so that everybody that wants to can acquire that. And that is basically, you know, call it an object. I mean, I can just hold it here. It kind of looks like this. And you can just put it in your home, and just by not doing anything with it, and you just have it in your home, it harmonizes and balances your whole energy field at home. So it's like an energetic feng shui. It resonates already with the cells, and that includes animals and certainly plants that benefit from this more positive energy, and it harmonizes and neutralizes EMF. So it doesn't, just by sitting there, it doesn't block EMF, and that's also not the goal anyway, right? Because if I'm at home and I'm working, I need Wi-Fi, right? So I can't physically block it. Why would I? But if I can have it around and it doesn't bother me anymore, it's not harmful in any way, then that's great, right? So that's kind of what it does. And then it does certain other things, like, for example, if you put your hands in it, and, you know, I don't want to get too deep into that, but you can see your blood change to the positive in already a few minutes.
I mean, you have proof. We have pictures of all that, sure, which I'll put them up as you talk about this.
Yes.
As you're talking, I've, you know, we'll just keep putting pictures up.
Yes. And then two more things that are very key to this is, so you can imprint quantum energy in any object actually with this. And you can also copy any frequency that you want into another object. So let's say I could take a frankincense piece, right? And I take an aluminum card and put it both in there. And then afterwards, I would have the frequency of the frankincense in this card. And so maybe frankincense is not such a great example, but you can be a homeopath, if you will. So you could literally build up your library of various frequencies that you can then leverage. And so those are the main functions of that. And then we have a whole line of products that we've come up with that are very useful in the daily life for people that don't want to, you know, have such a piece at home, or, you know, it's also not super cheap. Not everybody can afford it. At the same time, we try to actually also make it affordable. So it's really not something that is like a luxury item.
Well, how much is it?
It's $1,499, which is nothing for what it does, frankly.
Sure.
But it's certainly also not, you know, super cheap either.
But you have other things like water bottles and stuff that you can just constantly be using.
Like this would be a water bottle. As an example, this is a water bottle, and then you can, it comes preloaded with specific frequencies that we've come up with our healers. And so when you put the water in there, the water, and it's charged with quantum energy. So if you put the water in there, the water then gets instantly restructured, and it's not a filter. So you want to have filtered water that you put in, so it doesn't filter out any stuff, but it energetically converts the water to its optimal form, and it charges us with these frequencies. That's just one example. Then we have certain frequency cards. For example, an inner peace frequency card sounds also, again, very woo-woo. But I tell you, probably over 90% of the people, random people that are not seers or anything like that, they feel it. They hold it in their hands, and they notice an effect. And then we have various other products like capsules, like Ion had tried that capsule once with some very positive effect, I think. And things that are, you know, useful in the daily life are not very expensive, and you can basically have them with you, and they all have this positive effect. Last but not least, we have a clothing line with specific high purity silver fabrics that by itself already block EMF. So if you wear this t-shirt as an example, it blocks EMF everywhere around your organs. But at the same time, it's charged the quantum energy, so it transmits that energy to your whole body, which means that everywhere in your energetic and physical system, EMF is harmonized. And that's also what you see in those studies. So,
Is it nerdy? Would I look like a nerd? Will my daughter tell me I'm
a nerd, Mom,
actually, and I don't want you to stand by me wearing it? Yeah, I mean, come on. You guys have kids? I know Ion does. It's reality. And I don't really care.
We have actually cool Bitcoin t-shirts.
I don't care. In fact, it might be more motivation for me.
Yeah. So we've tried actually to, you know, we're working on a jacket right now, and it'll come out in the next like 3 weeks. And we put a lot of emphasis on it really looking cool and nice, and
sure, I know,
and not just useful, you know what I mean?
I'm just being goofy. I know you, and I, especially your wife, I know she's very stylish, but I could, you know, my daughter, I used to do stuff, I could just be painful just walking in the room to her. So, okay, well, if I know that's painful, I'm gonna do it more. But so, anyways, I just thought, you know, every parent has to get to that point.
Quantum charge lab coats.
Yeah, so no, it's just awesome, especially for all these people that work all day long by a computer. It makes sense to be doing that. And now when people wear something like that, do their energy, it's kind of like I wear my blue light glasses. When I'm not on air, I'm always have my blue light glasses on. I've noticed a difference with those just because, you know, everybody knows that blue light is not good for you, especially before bed. Now, if you're wearing that material, do you notice a physical difference of energy?
Well, I do, and a lot of people do, but not everybody does. And that's one of the things that's going on, right? It's being made hard for everybody to feel and sense energy, right? Because we have bad air, bad food, bad this, bad that, right? And, you know, EMF and all that. And it's not making it easier to connect with our inside and to really tune in what's going on. how do I feel? I mean, when do people even ask them and nowadays really how they feel and really tune in with themselves, because there's so much sucked into everything else. And but most people do feel actually that the energy level goes up. And certainly everybody that can see energies and frequencies are very sensitive, they all notice it, right? But it's, you know, it's something, you know, there are people that don't notice it. They just intuitively know it helps them. And then they can also look at test results. But sure. Maybe I can talk about his experience.
Well, yeah. I mean, for me personally, I feel it, especially as of late, I feel it more and more. And that may just be because things are cleaning up in my system or who knows exactly what. But, you know, a lot of the things that it always cracks me up, because looking at it objectively, you know, Philip, when you were saying it sounds kind of woo-woo, it does. But really, if you go to a cardiologist, right, you're getting an EKG and you're looking at electrical impulses that precede all the chemical firings, right? You know, you get the electrical impulse, then you have the chemistry back it up. And in this, what's very clear to me at this point is, before you get the electrical impulse, there are other impulses. And as a group, we don't generally pay attention to things until something catastrophic happens. You know, and as a culture, that catastrophe could well be, you know, the effects via virus. It could be the effects via cancer cropping up at unprecedented rates. You know, all those things. I would recommend anybody who thinks that this is fringe to look at a video of the Tacoma Narrows Bridge, where the engineers just simply didn't calculate for resonance, and the wind just started to blow in a nice gentle breeze one day and hit the resonant harmonic of the bridge as fate would have it. And by the end of the day, the bridge had ripped itself apart. All the concrete and tension cables couldn't do anything because it was a subtle vibration that was inherent in the material.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
You know,
the power of that. Science behind this is very concrete. I mean, this is great science. The problem is it's great. I mean, this is the future. And I, you know, if people listen to the show knows it, because, you know, I have Sherry Edwards on who, you know, hears frequency, and I've had a Roman and crew on who can see frequency. And it's just so great because we know this is the future, and we know the universe is electric too, which I've had people on from the electric universe. I mean, we know there's so much more to this, and it's very, very science based. But it sounds woo-woo. Everything sounds woo-woo until you understand the science behind it. But let's face it, 400 years ago, just our lights, or if we showed them our cell phone, they would be, what the hell is that? You know, when I first saw the cell phone, I thought
it was... up and go.
Or the airplanes or whatever.
Yeah, we'd big look, silver bird in sky.
Yeah, we'd look like magic people. And so everything is relative to, this won't seem like woo later on. This will seem like everyday science.
No. We're just in the baby steps. It's, you know, that Arthur C. Clarke, any sufficiently advanced technology will appear as if magic, right? And we are the primitives. We're primitive relative to what's coming. We just don't generally think of it. You know, I mentioned this the last time we were talking about frequencies. Look at Luc Montagnier, the Nobel laureate in France. I mean, you know, everybody would just be completely dismissive of his work, save the fact that he won the Nobel Prize for isolating the HIV virus. And so after somebody gets a Nobel Prize, it's a little difficult to call him a quack. But Montagnier, for the past, you know, 15 years, frequency responses in water, and his research, it still blows me away. When I watch his stuff, it's incredible, right?
Oh,
you record frequencies so cool. That shouldn't exist. Then you email the frequency file of someone 1,500 kilometers away. You can replay the frequencies into brand new water, and then you can recreate, you know, the DNA that was supposedly not existent in the first batch of water. I mean, it's stunning.
It's so,
you know,
amazing.
It's hard for people to,
I covered water in the past, you know, we had a show on it, and we talk about the fact that we human beings, what are we, 78%? We're the majority of us is water. I don't know, a very high percentage of us. And water shared through streams, shared through mist in the sky shared through everything, emotions and so many things is stored in water and our consciousness, parts of our consciousness. And so that's how we're all connected more than we even realize, just based on water.
Yeah, by molecular count, it's over 99%, right? If you actually just counted the molecules in your body.
Yeah.
We're over 99%. By volume, it's about 70, but
yeah, but okay.
By molecular count, but over 99.
How cool is that? That the memory, water has memory of all these different things that it's shared by all living things. And so the consciousness of one, you know, when you think of the theory of consciousness of one, how much is that just because water is shared by everyone, you know? And the physics.
It's quite possible that that's transmissive, you know, like you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, the reality is we don't know. It actually, it doesn't even in your body, it ceases to be really primary, and it stratifies itself into more of a 3D quasi crystal, is H3O2.
Yeah.
And it forms this kind of helical structure, you know.
Well, and who's to say that's not why the momentum of energy and physics, as something starts to go, it keeps going. It's because it's this one, you know, you used to talk about the ripple effect. It's the ripple effect of what, water? You know, I mean, there's so many more. It's really fascinating. You're right. We are in the baby steps of this. But when you realize how much we share the common thread and how our consciousness is all intertwined and how much our consciousness affects our reality, it's that we are in the beginning of learning so much more about how everything works. And it's so scientific. It's so based on science. And that's what I love about it, is that it's not woo-woo or whatever you pronounce it. It is science, you know?
Yeah, you just have to take the time to try and answer the questions. And you have to really put aside a lot of the precepts that you've learned over time, because, you know, I will frequently see things. In the case of working on the beginnings of the quantum tech, I saw some things that I could not explain, because simply the vocabulary didn't exist. So I had to kind of put aside my, well, it can't possibly be that, because I haven't been taught that yet. I mean, if you really want to box yourself in intellectually, just tell yourself that it can't possibly be that way because you don't understand it. You know, I mean,
but that's what's happening at universities. And that's why universities are becoming more of an obstacle of learning versus a vehicle of learning. And it needs to evolve. And we've more and more people are realizing that, which is a good thing. I mean, humanity needs to evolve, and it's one area that needs to evolve. But I really do believe universities are becoming more of an obstacle right now because of that box theory.
Well, what forces evolution, right? It's selective pressure. And I mean, you'd have a hard time looking at the world today and not seeing selective pressure being applied to all of us. I mean, 100 years from now, we might go, oh, thank God for the 2020s, because wow, humanity made such huge leaps forward because we are feeling so much pressure. You know, you never know the outcome.
Exactly.
It could be the impetus for great things.
It really could. When you're in a moment of, holy shit, we got to get things done, that's when things get done. And that's what we're in now, is like, oh my God, we got crazy people wanting to do stuff. We got to get crap done.
Well, people rally in the face of adversity. That's one of the beautiful things I love about humanity, is we're creative, and in the face of adversity, we rally. You know, Austin last week was just absolutely hammered by weather, and I was talking to my best friend, and she was completely panicked because she couldn't find gas, because all the gas stations were out of gas. And I was kind of perplexed, because I knew she was totally set, had everything, you know, all of her food, she has a four-wheel drive, she's totally set up. And I said, well, why are you freaking out? You've got everything in place. And she said, no, because I just read that all these people need dialysis and they don't have a way to get there, and I have a 4x4, so I've got to try and kick in and help and go ferry people. And I thought, that's amazing, right? It was so heartwarming to me, because I thought, geez, Holly embodies what I really love about people. She's putting herself in, you know, kind of in the face of adversity for the sake of all the people who can't. And it was beautiful to see, honestly, because she just stepped up.
That's the kind of
beauty that I think, if we focus on that, you know, where you place your energy grows, basic physics, right? Whatever you focus on is going to grow. If we focus on the downsides, the downsides will appear larger. If we focus on what we can do and the technology and the beauty that comes about from all this, then that will become bigger. So, and that's, I mean, personally, that's the camp I'm in. So, which is why I work on this stuff.
Okay. Well, where can people learn more about you guys and what you're doing? Where's the best place to reach you?
So I can send a few links to you. So there's a Telegram group actually that is more like a shared interest group where people can find me because I'm fairly active there also. It's all about these topics, quantum energy frequencies and really beyond. And it's just a fun group of people. And if someone wants to listen in and learn a little bit, that's a good place to start. And people can reach out to me directly there as well. And other than that, Leela Q, LeelaQ for quantum, and then .com, that's our website. And if someone wants to send me an email, it's just info@leelaq.com, and I'll get it on my desk.
Excellent. And then how about you, Ion? I know you have a new website, which is...
I'll just give everybody my personal cell phone number. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Oh, you can.
And my social security number in case anyone is a prince that needs help financially at the moment. MitchellSciences.com is probably an easy place to get me. It's under construction currently and just a place to track what I'm doing and what's going on. But really, I'm not that hard to track down. So, you know, I have a decent online presence. You can find me on Instagram. It's at IonMitchell1. And, you know, if anybody needs me, that's probably an easy place to find me and just send me a DM.
Excellent. Okay. Will you guys stay after for my Ebonier and my SarahWestall.tv members for my members?
Yeah, 100%.
Excellent. Thank you.